Welcome to Centre Church. We hope you enjoyed this message, recorded live from our Burgess Hill campus.
Hello. I've got bright lights. You're the bright lights, but then there is really bright lights. Honor always to speak God's word. And today I just want to share something with you that it's fresh in the sense of you could, if you're a teacher or a preacher, you could preach basically from many angles and many places in the Word of God, but you seek to not only preach or teach, but impart. This is about impartation. Many years ago, I've been preaching and teaching for a long time, but it was always the concept of teaching or transmitting. But then later in the years, I've realized that this is about impartation. This is about imparting something of God. So it's not even a knowledge that we display or even experiences that we go through that we would like to share with others. But this is about today, the Holy Spirit to impart something to us. And I pray that as we start, as you listen, as you open your heart, you actually seek God and say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come on me today, impart something. I don't know about you, but I want an impartation of the Holy Spirit. The more time I get to this, the less professional I get in the sense of seeking to do it well, but more needing His power, needing His impartation, needing His presence. So today, just want to share something from Matthew 25. If you have your Bible, I've got my classic Bible. Don't worry, I've got it in my iPad. I've got it in my iPhone. But today, it's my red Bible. It's because I've got in my Bible, I've got all the verses wherever I flick. That's why I prefer it. And I want to read, we're going to read something in Matthew 25. A strange place to go, to a parable, and this is the parable of the 10 virgins. I don't know if you know the story, so I'm going to read a little and then put some background. But before I do that, I just want to say the context of this message, I felt it was coming from the observation that in today's crazy rat race, I am not sure that we truly understand the concept of preparation anymore. I want to ask you that question. I want you to answer it to yourself. When was the last time that you felt truly, truly ready for something? That you go to that exam or go to that trip or go to an appointment or go to visit a friend and you are truly ready for them? Well, we may be dressed. We may have washed our face. But we are running through things. That concept of preparation, taking time to prepare for everything we do, I think it's a rarity today in our day, in the way we have to go from one thing to the other. In this context of society, in this context of busy, busy lives, I want to just come in with God's word and read this passage. It says, at the time the kingdom of heaven... At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the doors were shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they say, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Now, this, we have to understand the context, of course, is Jesus getting closer to his sacrifice and death. Soon after, a chapter after, Jesus is now facing death. And so we are now in a context where Jesus is getting closer to his sacrifice and death and departure from his earthly mission. And although at first glance we may understand this passage to refer to his second coming, I believe Jesus is preparing his followers for their spiritual journey. It's not just about when Jesus will come back on earth. Who knows when? Only he does. It's not only that. Jesus is talking about in the context of now being away, but he's saying to them, in this context, be ready. Now, only a short time later, the disciples have to face their most significant vigil they will ever encounter. Later on, two chapters later, we find the disciples in the Gethsemane. And Jesus asked them, keep watch. But actually, they are going to face their biggest time of need to be vigilant. And Jesus tells them this parable. In this context, you know, we understand that Jesus will come back. And by the way, Jesus will come back. And we need to be ready. But I want you to understand that Jesus comes daily to our lives. Just in case we think that Jesus will come back. But this is about Jesus coming back every day to our hearts and say, do this, go there. How is this in your life? And in that context, are we ready for him? You know, it's okay to look at the scripture and say, we need to be ready for his coming. But today I want to say, are you ready for him today? If Jesus tells you, go and pray for somebody. Are we ready? Are we ready in the middle of a crisis today? Are we ready to know what to do? You know, the disciples, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, we could say that that was a context of a crisis. There was a crisis going on. And Jesus says to them, be vigilant, pray, so that you may not fall into temptation. He's actually telling them, be ready, make yourself ready. Now, if you look at the parable, I want to put it also in a context, in the right cultural context. These are friends of the bride. You know, the 10 virgins were girls, like the bridesmaids. They were friends of the brides who will lighten the road for the bridegroom. Now, put it in the context, in those days, there was no electricity. And houses were far few between. And the bridegroom would come from another house to pick up the bride. The bridegroom would come to the house of the bride. And the duty or the responsibility of the friends of the bride were to be ready for when the echo of the festivity would come close. The bridegroom wouldn't travel on his own. He would travel with his entourage and all his family. And therefore, when they would hear that the bridegroom was somewhere, they probably had messengers that would come and say, hey, they are a kilometer away. Yeah, we can hear them. Then the duty of these virgins were to actually go along the road and create a path to the house. So this was their responsibility. Now, just three things I want to highlight to identify who these girls were. They were chosen. They were special. They belonged to the core group. They were friends of the bride. They were in the close net of this family. They were pure. They were virgins. They were ready to occupy that place. You know, when we look at this story, what we see as Christians in this parable, God sees as wise or foolish. We see as Christian. They were chosen. They were believers. They belonged to the family. But actually, the story, God identifies them as some were foolish and some were wise. Now, this is important to understand because we are not talking in the context, or we're not referring to people who don't know Christ. We're not referring to people that are not in the inner circle. We're not referring to people that are strangers. These are chosen people. They belong to this group. They belong to this party. The second thing is they were present. They came. They attended. They dressed. I can imagine, bridesmaid, how many, if you've been to weddings and you know you've organized weddings and the bridesmaid, the preparation is for months. I can imagine these girls being ready. Come on. They're going to be part of this entourage. They are not going to go unready, unprepared. They are ready. They arrived. They were part of it. They had everything. Good performance. They are there. They attended. They're on time. The third point is they are willing. They are dutiful. You know, it's very interesting the fact that they actually managed to go and get the oil. I find this quite incredible. They weren't just, oh, we missed it, we go. Well, what's the point? Our friends are not giving it to us. They could have got offended. They could have said, oh, you know, this is the love of God. You should share your oil. No, they ran, the Bible says, and got the oil. They actually got it. But the problem is that when they arrived, it was too late. So we could say that they were willing, dutiful. But you see, in this story, what I want to really hammer down today is the emphasis on the oil. What we carry and not who we are. Today, I want to tell you, church, this is not about who we are. This has never been about what we can do. This has never been about living the Christian life well. This is about what we carry. If we carry or no, if we don't carry, that makes the difference. There is nothing else that will make the difference. Not our abilities, not our competences, not our years of dedication. It's determined upon carrying the oil. The oil we know is the Holy Spirit. I don't know if somebody could get me a glass of water. Thank you, Giovanni. Giovanni's gone. Thanks. Now, as we look at this parable, we see it presents the need for a deeper preparation. Now, we may focus on the five falling asleep, but actually, they all fell asleep. And today's society, and I can say the church, thank you very much. In today's society, and I can say also it can be in the church, we may be pushed to focus on personal performance. And when I say personal performance, I don't mean just, you know, public speaking, all that, but personal performance. When I speak about personal performance, it's about the focus being on us as people, on our duty, on doing things well. Today, society is very much about the strongest, the one who can do the better job, and the pressure to keep your job and always be better than others. This can also come in the church, in the sense that we tend to think that to serve God, we have to do everything well. We have to give Him the maximum. We have to do perfection. I want to tell you, we focus more on staying awake ourselves. And it's almost like more focusing on being awake, which is a way of priding ourselves on being able to stay awake, than on the power of the Holy Spirit. It can happen that we can focus more on being awake. It's important to be awake. It's important to do it well. It's important to give the maximum. We can focus more on that than on the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a temptation. This is a tendency that we can have. The story shows that the issue here is about carrying something. What they carry. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, you know, you have this treasure in earthly vessels. It is not about our perfect behavior, even spiritually, but about the understanding of I need to equip myself of His presence and His power. You will receive power and you will be my witness. It is not about who we are, church. Please hear me from my humble mouth. It is not about who we are. It's about what we carry. I have seen more weak, humanly weak individual moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. The mighty human men and women carrying very little. This is a challenge for all of us. What do we carry? And the preparation that goes deeper than just surface preparation. There is a difference between understanding what you need for now, for a moment in your Christian life, and the conviction that you cannot run out of His presence or His fuel. There is a difference in saying, I need the Lord, or the conviction of saying, I cannot do it without you. There is a difference. There is a difference. This is about a fuel that I need, that I cannot run without. You have a car. You can't run it without fuel. You cannot. It's not just about needing fuel. It's being convinced, being convicted, being grounded on the understanding that I cannot do it without your presence or your power. I want to take you through a trip in the desert. Imagine you are taking a trip through a desert with your car. I'm pretty sure that you are convinced that you cannot run out of petrol. Imagine if you're going to take a trip and you're going to go through a desert, and you are convinced, you've got the car, your deposit is full, but hey, you are convinced that you cannot run out of petrol. You're convinced because, well, you know, the unnegotiables. First of all, I am convinced that I cannot run the car on anything else but petrol. Now, that's a staggering thought. I can have Coca-Cola in the car. I can have water. I can have beer. I can have washing up liquid. I can have many liquids. But I am convinced, because I know, that I cannot run the car on anything else but fuel, petrol. Which means that I recognize that this car has been built to run uniquely on petrol. The recognition of our Christian life is that we can run only on the Holy Spirit. We can have many things. We can have ideas. We can have ideology. We can have methods. But we have to be convinced that we cannot run our Christian life without the Holy Spirit in us. Oh, hallelujah. I cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. I said to the Lord early this morning, if I am going to stand up there without the Holy Spirit, what would that be? What would that be? Few words? We can pull words together. We can do good. We can share ideas. But this is about what we've been designed for. Our spiritual life has been designed like a car, that it cannot function on anything else but the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah, please. Hallelujah. Because no, sometimes we get a bit confused. We think we can run it on Coca-Cola. We think of it, we can run it on PowerPoint. We think we can run it on something else. We, first of all, need to be convinced that we can only run our Christian life on the Holy Spirit. Wow. The second thing is that I know that throughout, I'm still in the car in the desert, I know that throughout the journey, and also the journey of life, there will be circumstances in which my normal needed amount of fuel will run out. What do I do if I'm going through the desert? I take a deposit extra, because I know that there may be circumstances through which I run out of what I have. You know, we run out of the Holy Spirit in us. Did you know that?
This is not about one-time baptism of the Holy Spirit. We run out. We use the Holy Spirit. Oh, wow. We run out of Holy Spirit in the sense in our humanity, in our strength, we run out of him. We need him to breathe on us. We need to be filled and filled and filled and filled. This is actually about a fuel that we use in our lives. And so what I do is I take measures so that in case my life faces different twists, and in case something goes wrong, I have extra. I have made a reserve. I want to talk this morning about reserve. Do we have the Holy Spirit? Yes. But do we have the reserve of the Holy Spirit? I always need extra because I can't produce it myself. You see, you can't produce it in the moment of need. You can't produce it yourself. It can only come from him. The third point of journey through this desert, there will be places and times in my life and in this journey where resources will not be available. You know, I've gone through times in my life when resources were not available. They were just not available. I remember going to Spain as a missionary almost 40 years ago. And, I was coming from a church. My dad was a church planter, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people teaching. And then we came to Bible college, every day chapel, teaching. But then there was no iPad and there were no blogs and there was no all that. Suddenly go to Spain, there was no believers with church planters. There was hardly anybody there. The resources, you know those resources that fuel you. Oh, now you have to go somewhere. You and God, spirituality for the long haul, you know, and in a place where there is no resources and dig. And dig. I don't know from where, but dig from your relationship with God, from him. And many a times it wasn't like, oh, where did you get this thought? I don't know, this thought came from heaven. There will be times in our lives when spiritual resources will not be available. So, and in that journey, we need to almost have a personal deposit which transcends the now and the human measure. This is not about a deposit of just books around me. This is about a spiritual deposit that transcends the now, my challenges, and it goes beyond the humanity and takes me to a place where I can take from and bring here. Oh, wow. I'll tell you, I want to say, wherever you are today in the world that we're living and in the days we're living, you need to find those resources in God. You need to pull them at times when you hadn't planned to pull. You will find yourself in places where you think, Lord, I need you, and I can only take it from what I met with you this morning, what you spoke to me this morning. Those places where we can refuel. In that journey in the desert, there will be times when others will not help you with their resources. You know, look at the story. It's a bit sad, but actually it was the reality. Other people, the other virgins, couldn't help them at this time. And there will be times as well in our lives where there is no outside help. Where do we go? But ultimately, in this journey across the desert, I want to tell you, I need to be convinced, or I am convinced, that I may die in the process. When I take that extra fuel with me, it's actually because I am convinced that I may get stuck in that desert and I may die if I am not ready. If I don't have this extra fuel, I may actually die. This is a life or death situation. If I don't have that extra fuel, I can die. But I'll tell you, if we don't have the extra fuel spiritually, we can die spiritually. There are circumstances in our lives that can kill us if we don't have the reserve. Now, the emphasis, as I said at the beginning, of the whole parable and teaching is about the oil. And the deposit available for what that oil is needed for. You see, we may not even know what the fuel is needed for. We may even not know why we need the Holy Spirit on that day. We don't even, the disciples didn't know what was coming. When Jesus said to them, I want to read it now in Matthew 26. Let's read it together. It's always good to read God's word. God's word is like a source of power. Matthew 26, verse 36 says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to focus on that phrase. Jesus says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. He was not worried, to be honest with you, knowing Jesus by now. He was not worried about them falling asleep. He himself had fallen asleep in a couple of boats. The issue is not falling asleep. He was not worried about that. What he was concerned is that he knew that they were not aware of their weakness. And they would need reserve. What he was concerned about was that they were not really aware of their own weakness when the time would come. And actually, when you know the story, and I'm sure you know it well, when the time came, they ran out of oil. Didn't they? The disciples ran out of oil. You know when? When Peter was in the courtyard and somebody said to him, I know you. You were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. That's when he ran out of oil. You know, when they said, those men were with Jesus, they are his followers. No, we weren't. That's when they ran out of oil. And that was what Jesus was asking them to pray for. Jesus wasn't asking them to pray necessarily for himself only, or that they needed to protect him. Jesus was going to the cross. He needed no protection. But he was asking them to pray for something that they didn't even know was coming. You know, they didn't know they were going to deny Jesus. They didn't know it. We don't know we are going to deny Jesus. We don't know that in the moment of crunch, we may not have enough deposit. We don't know that. We don't know if in the daily walk we are going to lose it with anger because we have not enough oil. We don't know that we are going to maybe twist a few things because we are not in the place of consecration. We run out of oil. Jesus wanted them to be prepared. And Jesus wanted them to know that the preparation was deeper than a surface preparation. You know, this is not about how we perform, but about how we prepare. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, a worker, present yourself as a worker which is approved with nothing to be ashamed. It means prepare yourself in yourself before you present yourself to God approved. First, you have to approve yourself. There is an inner preparation. This is not about perfectionism. Who has told you that you have to be a perfect Christian? You have to be a filled Christian. Who told you that it's got to be about wakefulness? You have to be always right. You have to be always awake. You've always got to be perfect in timing. Who told you that? This is about vigilance. This is about understanding that I may fall asleep in my weakness, but I'm ready. You know, I didn't tell you, but I like to title the messages I preach, and this is about asleep but ready. You know, we can actually be asleep but ready. How does that work? I don't know, but it does. Think about, you know, the nurses that are on duty. Think about when you've been waiting for somebody and the dinner is ready, everything is ready, but they are delayed and you kind of fall asleep. But when they arrive, everything is ready. The firemen at the fire station, ready. You know, sometimes they won't be called for 2 weeks or maybe for a full day, and they can play. You see them playing games and listening to their music and even have a sleep. But it's in the way they live, they are ready. There is like a deeper, I call it the deeper preparation. Spiritual preparation is not surface, it's not visible. In fact, we can be deceived in even with each other in how preparation is external. This is about a preparation that makes you be ready at any time. You know, this is not about how we focus, how much we focus on something. It's about alertness. It's not about achievement. It is about serving in love. The virgins were there, were the close friends. They were there to serve their friend. It's not about duty, but it's about consecration. It's not about the moment of glory, but it's about shining the light in the right moment. But sadly, as believers, sometimes, let me tell you, and when I say about we and us and we and Christian, it's not as a critical, I am putting myself first, but it's an honest observation. We, you know, we are big now on self-awareness in the job. In anything we do, we need to be self-aware. We need to know our strengths and limits. I think we need to bring self-awareness in the church, on our Christian life, to be really aware of ourselves. No fool, no deny, no camouflage, no misunderstanding even in ourselves. No, a good self-awareness. And when I speak to myself first. But I do say, sadly, as believers, we have fallen into the human trap of self-dependency, self-sustainability, and self-sufficiency. And our mindset, even when it comes to our spiritual life, could be conditioned by self-reliance. I want to tell you, we need a paradigm shift. Today, we need to really shift this. We need to understand that all the above tendencies of self-dependency point to our effort, our roles, our competences, our abilities, etc. But if we were to empty, today I want to just share this with you, if we were to empty ourselves of our direct primary place in our Christian life, and we viewed ourselves for the first time as carriers of the Holy Spirit, how instrumental would our lives become? If today we made this paradigm shift by from being Christian, being follower of Christ, to actually take away us from the picture and believe and be convinced that we are carriers of the Holy Spirit, pure carriers of the Holy Spirit, how instrumental would our lives become? The world would be changed. The world would be changed. Maybe the looking for that extra reserve entails greater effort. I want to share just a couple of minutes. Why is it so hard to work on the extra reserve? The extra reserve deals with our humanity. The outward preparation deals with our external ability. The inner preparation, the greater, the deeper preparation deals with our humanity, with our failings, with our emptiness, with our weaknesses, with our, yes, poverty of spirit. When we go in the deeper place of preparation, we are not just preparing how to do in the Lord, we prepare in who we are. We go deeper in a place where we recognize our weakness. We say, Lord, I can't do it. I want to tell you today, I can't do this without the Holy Spirit. I can't do it without Him. What is wrong with recognizing that we cannot do a spiritual work in a human dimension? What is the problem of that? What is the problem of recognizing that we are trying to do a spiritual work in a human dynamic? Faith was given as the heavenly currency. One day in heaven, we will not need faith. Why have we been given faith? Because faith is the earthly currency of heavenly life. You cannot do the life of the Spirit on earth without faith, because it belongs to, you have to pull that down here. How do you do that? By faith. By faith. One day we will be up there. Faith will not be needed anymore. When we go into that deeper place of preparation, that reserve, I call it the reserve place, we deal with ourselves. But maybe looking for that extra reserve entails greater effort. Maybe it needs renouncing a momentary pleasure or comfort, or just giving up the extra chat in the week, or the extra movie in the week, or the extra game, or the extra shopping day, or something else, I don't know, or the more money, or the greater distance to cover in life. There is an element that sometimes that deeper preparation costs something that we need to give up. Do you understand what I mean? It's not just about doing, it's about preparing, it's about building reserve. And that building reserve happens with yourself, with God. And sometimes it's a question of sacrifice, one extra movie. I say it myself, sometimes, this week, you need the extra. You need the extra. And maybe for that extra, I need to give up something else, because I need to create spaces, times for that extra. You know, Esau, I'm just concluding. Esau, in the Bible, very beginning, he exchanged something present for eternal values. He lost eternal values for a momentary pleasure. I want to tell you, our responsibility is not to be ready in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own competences, but to be ready with a deposit, the reserve of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Today, like never before, we see a society and the church that strives and succeeds in performance, ability and knowledge, but lacks resilience, faith, and true inner power. Like never before, the church lacks power, even in emotional power, even in spiritual power, but never like before, the church outshines in performance. Today, we need to be self-aware of where we are as a church. We are strong on the outer, but then we crumble in the inside. And when we crumble, it's because the deposit of the fuel of the Holy Spirit is not there at the ready. We don't even know where to dig. You may have even lost sight of where your deposit is. Today, I just want to say to you again, as I said, from a really humble place, we need to come to the realization that we need the Holy Spirit's power. What would happen if today, as we sit there, flames of fire would start to come down on us? Because that's what the disciples experienced. Jesus said, don't move. Now, why Jesus had prepared them? Did he not believe in them? Did he not believe in his skills to disciple? Did he not believe that he had given enough? Did he think they were lazy? Did they think that they didn't listen? They were not obedient? Did they think they were a failure? No. They were the top of the top. Jesus loved them. Jesus taught them everything he knew. But he knew that they couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit, and said, wait until you will receive the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. For any more information or to find out more of what we do as a church, you can contact us at info@centrechurch.uk or check out our website at www.centrechurch.uk.